Right, everybody's here. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this meeting of the Audit Committee on Thursday, the 9th of February, 2023. I'd like to start with item one on the agenda, please. Monica, are there any apologies for absence?
There are no apologies, Chairman.
Thank you. Item two, are there any declarations of interest? We have no declarations of interest. That's good. Item three. I would like to seek approval of the minutes of the meeting of the 7th of December 2022. Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Toon, Councillor Hudson seconded. Sorry, Councillor Gaskin. all those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you, Monica. Urgent business. To consider any urgent business brought forward to the Audit Committee under Rule 12?
No urgent business, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Item 5 then. The External Audit Progress Report. Can I ask for Sarah Jessel to report, please?
Thank you, Chair. It's a relatively short report from us this time. The main focus is on explaining our progress at the current time and our audit deliverables. So, if I can take you to page 3 of the report, our progress on the financial statements audit first. In November, we reported to you our preliminary findings, and we explained that our work was still in progress in some areas. Since then, we haven't really been able to resolve the issues and queries that we have on some of the valuations that are in the financial statements, and so our work is still ongoing. We're working closely with Lisa and her team and the valuer to try to address these, but until they're resolved, we won't be able to conclude our audit and issue the audit report. Thinking ahead to 22-23, we will be beginning our work at the end of this month. One point to note is that some of the auditing standards, ISA 315, which relates to risk assessments, mean that we will have to do a bit more work on risk assessment than previously, and that will have a particular focus on IT controls and other controls which we deem to be relevant to the audit. The other main strand of our work, as you know, is value for money, and our work on this for 21-22 is currently in progress. We're at relatively early stages, so we will be able to bring you our auditor's annual report to a future meeting. But we're still within the deadlines set out by the National Audit Office to do so, because we're required to do that no more than 3 months after the date of our opinion on the financial statements. The final point to draw to your attention is the certification of the housing benefit subsidy claim, which we completed in January, and that was done ahead of the reporting deadline, which was good news, and not all authorities have had that success, so that's a good result, I think. Moving on to page 5, if I may, this just sets out the deliverables for the audit. So 21-22 deliverables, some of those are overdue, some are not yet due. And then the 22-23 deliverables, you will see that some of the later parts, we've yet to agree the timing of those with the officers. So those will be updated in due course. The final few pages are our sector update, which I wasn't proposing to go through. So I will conclude there and be happy to answer any questions that members might have.
Thank you, Sarah. First of all, thank you for getting the housing benefit over the line in time. And the bit you're not proposing to go through, I had seen on there about 60 councils were going to run out of money next year, and I just thought, thank heavens for Lisa and our team and our frugality that we're not going to be in that position. So, you know, it's good to know where the rest of the world stands in our way. Have we got any questions for Sarah while she's here, please? Well, can I just check? I mean, the big problem is the valuations from our side to you to get it signed off in time, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah, that's where the issue sits at the moment.
And as long as we can get that sorted, it could be done for the March meeting?
It's possible, but I think it might be fairly unlikely, it depends on, you know, it's outside of our control. As soon as we get the information, we'll be able to proceed. And to some extent, I think it's a little bit outside of the officer's control as well.
Yeah.
But there are options to be considered.
Right. But it would not affect, Purdah would not affect it, would it? Because it's not a political thing. It's something that we as a council have to sign off in general. It's not a political argument. So I'm just trying to make it clear for everybody so we know where we stand. Councillor Gaskin.
The valuations, are they all? Do you have trouble in getting the valuations off them?
Perhaps better for me to come in on that one, Councillor Gaskin. We have been using the same valuer for the bulk of the valuations for a number of years now. For the camps in question, it has been a very challenging year. I think the valuer has had some issues himself, but also the degree to which the auditors have stepped up their challenge because of the FRC requirements has placed significantly more demands on the valuer. So we are having difficulty getting the relevant evidence from him to give the auditors the assurance they require. Looking ahead for the accounts of 22-23, we are in the process of procuring a new valuer, and hopefully that will alleviate the issues that we've seen in the accounts that we've still got open as we move forward.
Thank you very much. Are there any more questions? Thank you, Sarah. Item 6 then, the Treasury Management Strategy and Statement and Annual Investment Strategy for 2023-2024. And I'd ask Lisa to present, please.
Thank you, Chair. So this is the Annual Treasury Management and Investment Strategy 23-24. And it's one of three Treasury Management reports that are brought forward each year that come to this committee for scrutiny and go on to full council for approval. And the purpose really is to review the 23-24 Annual Treasury Management Strategy, the Annual Investment Strategy, and also what's known as the MRP policy, the Minimum Revenue Provision Policy, which is a statutory requirement to have that policy, and sets out how we effectively repay our underlying need to borrow. Now, as I say, this is one of three reports that comes through. In generally speaking, the principles from the previous strategies that have been established by the council remain the same. It's been updated and refreshed to take into account the proposals within the medium-term financial strategy, particularly around the capital and spending proposals that, of course, have already come through the groups and will be going to full council later in February. Just as a refresh, really, in terms of the role of Treasury Management, it's the management of the local authorities' investments and cash flows. It's banking, money market and capital market transactions, but also the effective control of the risks associated with those activities and the pursuit of optimum performance consistent with those risks. Now, Schedule 1 sets out the Treasury Management Policy Statement for the Council, and that's consistent with the requirements of the Code of Professional Practice that we're required to follow. So if we start by looking at the MRP policy statement, this is set out in section 3.3 of the report. And as I said, this is our policy that we have to set out on a prudent basis in line with the regulations set by government in terms of how we will repay our underlying need to borrow. There is no change from the previous year's policy, so the current year's policy, and that essentially is for any pre-April 2008 debt, the existing practice of 4%, and then post-April 2008, which is when the prudential borrowing regime came in, effectively to repay any new debt for that period over the estimated life of the expenditure, which is a prudent approach to doing that. So where we've borrowed for the waste vehicles and we it's life safe for those vehicles, then we would repay the debt over that same period. So once the asset life has expired, then the debt would be fully repaid, is essentially the approach. Now, within the policy statement, it provides the option for voluntary repayments, which, as members will know, is something that the council has exercised that option for a number of years now in terms of setting aside, within the medium-term financial strategy, capital receipts to repay debt and reduce the underlying need to borrow, which provides savings to the revenue budget. There are a number of potential indicators set out within the strategy. The first of those relates to capital expenditure, which is all service related, and the numbers there are linked to the proposals within the medium-term financial strategy. The profiling has been adjusted slightly for 22-23 to include estimated levels of carry forward. And then the table underneath sets out how that capital expenditure is due to be financed. Obviously, you can see for the 21-22, there was a substantial element of borrowing, which related to the fleet vehicles in line with the approved cabinet report. And then for subsequent years, for 22-23, there's a smaller amount of borrowing, and that's linked to the residual element of the fleet approval. And then finally in 24-25 there's an element of borrowing there, which again is linked to that approval for the fleet. The sweepers were based on a three-year rolling program, so they would be refreshed in year three. And then the final box there is the capital financing requirement, and the capital financing requirement, as I mentioned, is our underlying need to borrow. So if we've got unfinanced capital expenditure, so it's not been financed from receipts or grants or revenue, then the capital financing requirement would increase. But we're also required through the minimum revenue provision to make statutory repayments against the capital financing requirement. So what you can see on screen, throughout the period 22-23 through to 25-26, is that the capital financing requirement is due to reduce every year, and that includes the statutory repayment but also some voluntary repayments as per the medium-term financial strategy from capital receipts. Now, for 23-24, we are required to include a new indicator, which is the liability benchmark. And this is shown with on screen, graphically on screen. Now, the purpose of this really, it's been required to be introduced to help determine the appropriate structure and profile of external loans. And effectively what this shows is, because we have quite significant investments in the authority, that there is no requirement under the current time, based on the current plans in the medium-term financial strategy, to need to borrow. It shows the top half there shows that borrowing is scheduled to drop as loans mature around 25-26, I think it is. Yep, 25-26. So the next graph shows how the Treasury position for 22-23 and how investments have fluctuated throughout the year. And what you can see, generally speaking, there is the usual peaks and troughs associated with council tax and business rates income coming in towards the beginning of the month, and then the precepts to the preceptors going out around about the 19th, 20th of the month. So you get a peak at the start of the month and then a trough towards the back end of the month. If you think about the bulk of the council tax we collect is actually on behalf of Staffordshire County Council, so that tends to come in around the first of the month, and then we pay the precepts over around the 19th and 20th, so cash flow drops. Obviously, it has been there has been a few differences this year, because there's some residual sort of COVID money going back to government and various support schemes taking place. And then the other aspect, really, in August you can see almost a double peak, and that's where the Towns Fund money came into the council. So the next table really compares our external borrowing, which is around 11 million and due to drop to around 3.6 by 25-26 as current loans mature. And it compares that with the capital financing requirement. And what it shows is that we are underborrowed. So effectively, we're temporarily using our own investments rather than going out to the market and externally borrowing to that degree, which is for a number of years now has been a positive position to be in, because obviously interest rates have been very low for a long time. And then finally, we're required to set borrowing limits each year, our operational boundary and authorised limit. The operational boundary can be breached on a temporary basis, although ordinarily you wouldn't necessarily expect it to be, but the authorised limit is the statutory limit not to be exceeded. And those limits have been adjusted slightly to reflect that borrowing is generally reducing for the council. And effectively what this next graph does is pull all those things together. So the blue bars show the external borrowing, and it goes back in time as well as looking forward. And you can see that external borrowing has been steadily reducing. And then as we get into 25-26, it's due to drop down quite significantly. And you can see that by and large, the capital financing requirement, which is the purple line just above the blue box, that's been coming down steadily as well, but with the peak in 21-22, which is the borrowing for the waste vehicles. And then we've gradually been dropping down the borrowing limits as well to reflect that the position and things coming down. Which takes us on to sort of prospects for interest rates, which are outlined in sections 4.3-4.84 of the report. The forecast shows that the bank rate is forecast to peak at 4.5% during the course of 2023. However, things are changing quite significantly. So the forecasts really are highly dependent on what happens to inflation. And therefore, in terms of the assumptions in the medium-term financial strategy, as you know, when we've gone through that at the groups, we have been prudent in our forecast, particularly for around 23-24. But what you can see on screen is the forecast for the very top line is the bank rate, the Bank of England MPC rate, and the forecast. And then in terms of the borrowing strategy, it's, as we've seen from the liability benchmark, there is no external borrowing planned for 23-24. There is provision included within the capital spending plans for potential borrowing in relation to the residual approved spend on the fleet replacement programme. And the MTFS continues to make provision for voluntary set aside of capital receipts to reduce the underlying need to borrow, which delivers revenue budget savings by reducing the MRP. And opportunities for early repayment of external debt will continue to be monitored and explored, and appropriate action taken. That's something that we are looking at the moment in terms of the external loans. And then in terms of investment strategy, which is covered at section 4.8 of the report, it outlines in line with the requirements of DGLUC, the government department, and the professional code of practice, that our primary consideration is the security of our investments to minimise risk. In terms of the counterparty selection process, we follow the LINC, who are our Treasury Management Advisors, the credit worthiness methodology, which is outlined at 4.8.2. But we don't entirely rely on that, so we look at financial press, share prices, and also look at country limits. For any investments longer than a year, they are limited to 5 million, although, to be fair, options and opportunities for that are few and far between. And section 4.81 sets out our counterparty limits, and it includes the uplift in money market funds to £6 million, which was approved back in December by full council. The strategy maintains scope to invest in property funds, which is in the current strategy, which would diversify us into a new class of assets, and there is additional governance requirements set out in the strategy should we look to go in that direction. However, under the current economic circumstances, going into property is probably not the best thing to do at the time, which is why it's not being explored. But it is something to bear in mind as an option in the future. So the recommendation really is for the committee to consider the strategy and recommend it to full council that they approve the Treasury Management Strategy, the Minimum Revenue Provision Policy, and the Annual Investment Strategy for 23-24, as set out in Appendix A to this report. I'm happy to take any questions through you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Yes, I was quite interested to note in that if we weren't living in this country, we wouldn't be investing in it. I thought it was a bit, you know, it isn't up to the standard. It's a horrific thought. Right. Are there any questions for Lisa? No? In which case, I thank Lisa for all the work that she's put into, yes, to produce it. And do we take a vote on the recommendation to the council? Yes? Right. So I'll just read it out so it's there on the tape. To recommend that full council approve the Treasury Management Strategy Statement, Minimum Revenue Provision Policy and Annual Investment Strategy for 2023-24 set out in Appendix A of this report. So I've got Councillor Hudson who's proposed it. Councillor Sylvester's seconded it. I've missed out Councillor Gaskin again. All those in favour? That is unanimous again. Thank you, Monica. So I will move on to item 7, an update on the appointment of external auditors for 2023-24 to 2027-28. And this doesn't mean that Sarah and Firm have been sacked, it just means that they move them round in around the country, is that right? We get a different set, but Lisa will explain.
Just to update members, really, you will recall there was a report that was approved at full council in terms of the council opting into the national procurement exercise operated by PSAA in terms of the appointment of external auditors. So on the 19th December, we received notification from PSAA that Assets Audit Services Limited have been appointed to be our external auditors for the period 23-24 through to 27-28. Now, they are new to the local authority auditing sector in England. However, Assets is a UK top 10 audit, accounting and business advisory firm, and the firm provides external audit, internal audit and other assurance services across the public sector and has extensive experience of auditing large Scottish councils on behalf of the Accounts Commission. And the firm operates from around 80 local offices spread across the UK, and it delivers public sector audit using specialist teams in selected locations, both in the North, the Midlands, and London. So obviously they will be gearing up for the extra work. we'll obviously keep members updated in terms of progress on that. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Lisa. Are there any questions? Councillor Hudson.
As the new to public sector finance, I take it they're aware that there's a different way of accounting from ordinary guarantees.
Yes, so they're new to public sector audit in England. However, they've been doing it for quite some time in Scotland. So.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, just clarify, because Grant Thornton might not be finished doing the work for us. So is it possible we're going to have two external auditors at the same time?
It is possible that there will be some overlapped, and I think PSAA, when determining which authorities to allocate to the new auditors, have probably taken that into consideration. And you can see from the locations and the councils that have been given to assets that the new provider to the market, that perhaps they've factored that in. But it does mean to say that there could well be some overlap.
Sal?
I think just a bit of clarity, if it's stating the obvious, but GT will still be with us next year for the duration of the year, because they'll still be auditing the year we're currently in, and so they will then move on the year after physically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I think reading between the lines, they've given the councils that have got, that do their work better, they've given them to the new auditors. So I think it's credit to Lisa and co that they've looked through and said, oh yes, we can let them have the new ones. But I think a bit of Scottish frugality won't do us any harm either, so no, I'm all for it. Any further questions? Thank you, Lisa. So item 8, the date of the next meeting, Wednesday the 15th of March. Councillor Toon. Oh my goodness, I'm looking around the offices to see how they're fixed. Obviously, this is the first thing in my diary, so I'm...
Unless you really call... Well, I shall be in
I think we ought to try.
Yes, in the interest of trying to get it through, I think we ought to try and find a date that's mutually acceptable. Has anybody else got any other problems in March? Well, that they know of. Obviously, you're on holiday, are you, Pear?
Yeah.
Right. Right, we'll send you a date, if that's all right, then. Yes, to be confirmed. Or do you want a total Labour takeover and, you know...
No,
I'm being facetious, Mick, sorry.
I just think we don't normally change a meeting because...
No.
..one member can't be there. I mean, we're all quarantined, everyone's here at the moment. It's just... Yeah. It really needs to fit in with what's happening with our auditors and yourselves.
Yeah.
Really.
I'm happy to look to push it back towards the end of March, and then I'll be back from holiday.
Yeah, Lisa's away as well, you see, so I've got nobody to fight for me. Especially if there's a hope of getting the other report finally over the line as well. That would be even better, wouldn't it? So if you don't mind, I think that's a prudent...
I was more worried that you were going to bring it forward. I haven't got a problem with it.
Oh, no, no. I'd like to get this other job finished, to be honest.
30th of March, sounds a good.
Yeah, possibly. Right, we'll leave that one with us then. Date to be confirmed. Thank you very much, everybody, for your attendance tonight. Meeting closed.